sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Visitor.
Hello.
Hey, I tried to add a little more energy to this episode because we just
That was good, yeah.
Yeah, it was good, right?
We're going to have a really good show, right? Because that's a recognizable pop icon.
Dennis Miller. Right? Yeah.
We're going No. What was that the older talk show host guy? Richard Nixon, right?
Richard Nixon, right? Yeah. Oh, man.
We're going to have a really great show.
As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, reviewing Yellowjacket Season 2, Episode 7, titled Burial. So.
Burial.
I,
holy shit. Did you think anything of like the stuff we saw in this episode was going to happen? I feel like I accidentally called a few things in the last episode.
I think you did. You had the foresight to. But the real mystery, the biggest mystery of Yellow Jackets is who is writing the IMDb summaries. Pull it up and let's read it. Because this is going to be part of the show now because we've got to read them.
For the episode 7. Of Season 2 of Yellow Jackets, Burial. The episode summary goes as, sometimes the best therapy is cranking the hits to 11. So today we're exploring the hardcore kid care revival. 11 o'clock. Who the fuck writes this? 11 o'clock theatrical bird core numbers. Some late hits off the renovation wave era. Call us about a spinoff. Flower duets and a classic live record. Out of the wilderness, Coach Scott does a great Carl Havoc impression for an unimpressed Misty. Wait a second.
So, genius.
If you're the person that's writing these, obviously this is not written by the show.
No.
We want to talk to you.
You are welcome to come on our show.
You got some good shit here.
Yeah.
You got some good shit.
That was, yeah.
Have we been missing out on these banger fucking summaries?
I think we have. Ugh. Even another positive thing to love about this show. But John, did you like the show or just like love the show, this episode?
I just kind of like casually loved this episode.
Yeah.
Just like really loved it is what it was. Especially when like there's like random, in my opinion, random things that are said and done where I'm like, what? You know what? Fuck yeah. Just keep clapping. Somebody reveals they're sick. I'm like, what?
Hell yeah. Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. Oh, also, thank you for hearing my cries. Ashley Lyle or whoever the show creators are. And finally, changing the theme song. So, I mean, it's still the same musical number, but it's not
right.
The one that was kind of annoying me before.
So this is the Alanis Morissette, you know, song title, main title one. And this is, I think, the one I thought they were going to change to, but they changed it back for whatever reason. So I was like, oh, well, that's probably just like a one-off, you know, Alanis Morissette, 90 icon, made sense. But now I came back for this episode, and the significance of it, I think, plays into this burial episode. So anytime we hear this main theme, I'm going to think this is going to be a fucking great episode. That's just my forethought. This is going to be a banger of an episode because I thought this episode was fucking awesome. Kick ass episode.
I only have one big gripe about it.
Okay.
It is, can we, for the love of everything pure, holy, and also evil and disgusting, stop using fucking Something in the Way by Nirvana. Or I should say Kurt Cobain, really, but like,
yeah.
I'm just tired of hearing it everywhere.
Oh, I loved it, though. You just love to hear it.
Thank you, fucking Batman, for...
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got that. Last summer, I got that song on the map again. But, I mean, did you know that Kurt Cobain recorded that on his back? Laying down?
Well, no, the only reason he did it laying down was he couldn't get up. Apparently, there was something in the way.
Okay, well, I set you up for that. That's who I executed, John.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm just signing off. That's John Flores. I got some more, you know, just what the... The disgusting bangers over here. I'll see you later.
Yeah, dude. So this was... go ahead.
I was going to say, we also had a Florence and the Machine song in here, which I thought was kind of...
was that the end song? Maybe. I don't remember.
There's a few Florence and the Machine songs in here. There's a couple of... And one of them is actually written with Jack Antonoff. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a fan of his solo stuff. Yeah. He's a good producer, but he's not really, not that strong of a...
Also, he has a horrible taste in partners from previous...
but I think he has excellent taste in partners. I don't know what you're talking about.
but he was also a part of, before he was in Fun, which, I mean, made him blow up, he was the singer of the band Steel Train that I was a big fan of. I only got to see him once, though. Open up for the Get Up Kids.
Excellent, yeah. And, if we're talking about just, like, the music, I would love to talk about the music. I loved hearing Six Underground by the Sneaker Pimps.
Live, dude.
Oh, yeah. Live, of course, like, live.
The live song,
I'll save the best for last. Like, hearing live.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. People just don't know.
As soon as you hear that guitar.
Yeah. They don't know, dude. Live was, like, one of the biggest bands in the 90s. Like, they were...
Yeah.
What could we equate them?
Well, honestly, just that one album, but yeah.
I mean, like
a big album.
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah, it's kind of like similar to, I shouldn't necessarily say that. I won't say what I was going to say. But yeah, like they're kind of like a band that constantly, I would say, what's the band like that has like tons of hits you hear constantly on the radio now? What's that Dragon band?
Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons. They're like Imagine Dragons at the time.
Yeah.
Like, they just have constant hits that play constantly on the radio and, like, huge fucking bands. People have no idea.
Imagine Dragons, the two guys, did a little performance set right outside of the Netflix building.
I saw that. That was awesome.
So I should update you guys because it's been a whole week since we've done the previous episode.
Strike over? Are we good standing
up? No. Surprisingly, it's still going and things have gotten way worse.
Oh, no.
Even though Imagine Dragons performed outside the Netflix building and I was like, oh, thank the heavens and the ones up high that Imagine Dragons.
They're the uniters.
Ended the strike. Yeah.
They're going to come get everything done. They didn't work. Damn.
The AMPTP is too strong. Too strong, even for Imagine Dragons.
That's something.
And then we had Brett Goldstein, who apparently went to the bar right by CBS. Oh, not CBS. I keep calling it CBS Radford. It is no longer CBS. They got bought out. So it's just Radford. Was outside with Jason Segel, also part of the protests.
Less important, part of the but picketing. Brett Goldstein was there.
Brett Goldstein,
You should be.
But more important.
Oh, okay.
Legendary, iconic freedom fighter, guitarist Tom Morello played an acoustic set right outside of that gate as well.
And I've already warned you, do not piss off Tom Morello. Please, you won't forgive yourself. You piss him off.
You'd have to be a complete idiot to still be working on a show right now, especially at that particular studio. Dumb person to keep on working because you're stuck in a contract that you can't get out of.
Definitely should not take more responsibilities. Everything
should definitely not. Yeah, not
Well, I don't know how much you could talk about.
Sorry, I just started sweating a whole lot. Definitely a bad idea to keep going, especially at the, if you're part of one of those studios. when I found out Tom Morello was playing outside of my studio, that's not my studio.
No, you don't know studios.
I don't know what that studio is. I don't even know where that's at in Studio City. Or in L.A. I was like, I'm fucked. Those people are fucked.
Yeah. We don't want Brett Goldstein or Tom Morello mad at the podcast. So, please, don't.
So, Tom Morello playing some nasty guitar riffs to egg on Brett Goldstein to go full on Hercules and...
Fuck off! This is
it, really? Fuck off! Yeah. I'm a really nice guy! Just yelling.
I love the Muppets!
No, I believe you. Yeah. Shake my hand. I'm like, what? Shake my hand. I'm like, okay.
Oh, the man.
What are we... fucking cute.
I forgot what we're talking about.
Yellow jackets.
So this was the therapy episode. Everybody decided to participate in therapy, in Lottie's therapy extravaganza. We got Shauna with the goat. We had Thaisa not participating, drinking with Van, and yeah. Misty doing the chamber. The what is it? What are those things called?
Isolation chamber.
Yeah.
The quad.
What are they called? We're so bad at stuff.
The water thing.
Water right chamber thing. Joe Rogan does.
It is called a water isolation tank, ?
I thought they had a sexier
sensory
name.
Sensory
deprivation tank. There you go. That's it.
That's the one.
And she has, of course, didn't want to be, wanted to do it, right? But once she actually gets in and she does it, we get a brilliant musical number. John Cameron Mitchell is in it. Who I immediately, once I heard the singing, I was like, that's John Cameron Mitchell. I knew that right away.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Well, honestly, it was spoiled to me already because I'm an avid fan of his.
Ah.
So, of course, I saw it on like all the social media before I watched the episode.
Oh, yeah.
It made me look forward to it for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And once she has that moment with John Cameron Mitchell's bird character, she confesses her love to Walt. So... we'll see how that plays out.
Which only means Walt's going to be a bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I think.
Yes. Like I said, I still have money on him being part of this group. Like he has interior motive. Yeah, 100%.
Which I'm a little bit confused about now because we get a little bit more of Lottie's insight and everything. And I don't think she... wants this to come back, but it's all reluctantly happening. I mean, she has a whole scene towards the end of the episode where she thinks she's talking to her therapist again, and then her therapist turns into the thing we've been seeing on the billboards everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, queen. It's not Lottie? Yeah.
Yeah, we could suspect that she does not have a psychiatrist. She's not on medication, I'm assuming. It's just assumed...
I thought at the end of that scene you heard the psychiatrist knocking on the door outside saying, hey.
Oh, no, that was... I think that was one of the other characters. Sorry, I think it was... I don't remember who. Basically, somebody trying to talk to her, but she's like so dissociated with reality. I honestly don't think she ever had a psychiatrist, to be honest. I don't think she ever leaves...
That makes sense.
...that area. I don't think she's on any medication. So let's just say everything we believe up to this point is not probably true about Lottie. She's definitely hiding stuff. I think it's safe to say that.
And I don't think it's intentional either, but yeah.
No. Yeah. It's not like she's doing it for villainous reasons. You know, I don't think she has as much say or control over what's happening with her. So.
Back, she kind of tried to like towards the end when everybody is all together, all the rest of the group, Which now I guess the assumption is everybody else dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they she's trying to get him to leave, but it only takes, I don't know, Natalie to be like, nah, come on, and she's like, okay.
Yep. We definitely saw Natalie kind of like, especially coming off the last episode, that she's definitely more into what's happening. She's like healing, you know, figuring shit out. She's really buying into the therapy. So,
yeah,
she confessed that she finally revealed that she did try to almost shoot herself, kill herself, commit suicide. So, to the other girls. So it kind of seems like, even though I hate that we're having this, the way this episode ended, I think you mentioned that, like, about how, like, we're still dealing with the whole stupid Adam thing, which I think is probably the dumbest plot line.
Yeah.
Like, how they've, I think they've completely written themselves in a corner here, but it seems like we're finally going to come ahead, hopefully resolve it. And because I'm more interested in, like, the relationships they have with each other. Because I feel like that was the best stuff, was when they were all together finally, and they were having that moment towards the end where they're like drinking, they're like reminiscing, stuff like that. Like, I mean, that's, feel like that's been the best the show has been in a while for the adult storylines.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know why I'm having trouble pinpointing like everything. Oh, fuck. So they're finally able to get out of the cabin as the young kids.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the young kids say. Is that what you're going to say? Sorry, no, I heard you wrong. I heard you wrong.
And then they all go explore, and I guess they all try to go find Misty's friend. God, we just like never mentioned her name, and I don't know what her name is.
Crystal?
The one that likes to sing to herself, right? Crystal, yeah.
Crystal, yeah. So,
Is that the same character?
That's, yeah, same Crystal. She says her name is Crystal, but her name's something else. They just didn't.
Oh, that's right. Oh, because Pistol Crystal, or whatever it was. Yeah. So they all go looking for her, and then there is a lot of flashback sequences for Ben,
mm-hmm,
about his relationship, and he's kind of having like he's finally been completely broken, mm-hmm, with the baby, and has these episodes where he thinks he's seeing his ex, and everything's kind of coming to a head where he's having like major guilt and regrets about his life. And while they're all looking for Crystal, Shauna goes on a walk, right? And what? Okay, so finally Ben at some point can't take it anymore, and Misty accidentally walks up to that same ledge,
right?
Where she accidentally pushed. I mean,
she didn't push her. She didn't push.
Didn't push her.
Didn't push her.
Did not push her.
Did not push her.
Did not. Did not force that other character to smoke that cigarette either. I'm just gonna
not,
say.
No. Well, less true. Less true.
Did not force her to have those cigarettes. In fact, said, "I threw those cigarettes away because they're gonna kill you."
Well,
she warned her.
She did reverse psychology. Not to relitigate all of this, but yeah, she like reverse psychology. She knew she was gonna take them, pumped them full of drugs.
You know, that's why you shouldn't smoke cigarettes. Misty wasn't wrong.
Yeah, I get your point. Cigarettes are bad. Yeah. Point taken.
Yeah, walks in on Ben is about to like jump off that cliff to commit suicide as well, and she basically said, like, don't do it or else I'm gonna tell people that you're the one that got Shauna pregnant and you try to impregnate all of us by taking advantage of us. And he's like, I don't care. And then she's like, I'm going to tell everybody you're gay. And then he just stops and is like, do it. And it looks like he's about to jump. And then she just breaks down crying. Like, I tried to save the baby. I tried. Please don't do it. I don't want to have any more blood on my hands, which really means because of the baby was covered in blood. Cause she did not push her friend.
She did not. I 100%.
Technically has never killed anybody. Well, and you got Shauna over here just you know, offing people left and right.
Yeah. just hit rage mode. Yeah. This episode. Yeah.
So Ben does not die, which I 100% thought he was going to die this episode.
Well, so I think both you and I both think that he's going to get eaten. He's going to get fucking eaten. But the girls, some of the other girls, are openly talking about eating people now. So it's less of a thing. It it's starting to seem like we're finally going to be less of an accident thing, and they're going to start, you know, offing each other. It doesn't necessarily seem like we're going to have what I predicted was like groups, like the people that don't want to eat each other, the people that do, you know. I think we're not going to probably get that, but we are going to probably start. It seems like it's more quote unquote on the table, you know, eating people. So
you're, yeah, that, you know, that kind of checks for why we only got this core group. And then the other characters that, like, we thought for sure we're going to get eaten just because they randomly show up in the season.
Yeah. Which they, I mean, but
I think they're trying to write in antagonists for those girls too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I definitely agree with that. And I feel like
it doesn't seem like they don't like Lottie for sure. Right. But they're not like openly against her either.
They just kind of go along with the group. They're like not, like, yeah, like
as adults, I mean, they're not like anti, like, oh fuck Lottie, or like, oh, like, they're not,
right,
they don't like her for, right, sure, but they're, mm-hmm, not against her either, right? So I didn't realize that dynamic till a little bit later.
Yeah, because nobody knew what she was up to. They thought she was in a Shana mentions that she, they thought she was in a like an asylum or something in Switzerland. So in fact, but they clearly didn't talk with her, keep up with her, because she ended up, for, I don't know, X amount of years, built this whole thing, this retreat or whatever, cult out in the woods. This is what she's been up to this entire time. So, did like Shauna's, I feel like finally, now that Shauna's like lost the baby and she tried to talk to Jackie this episode in the former food, yeah, shed, and did not get anything back from her. So she truly feels like she's like at the point where she's breaking, and she's like, she has nobody, she's completely alone, and she's accepting, well, that, she's plus everything else.
It's one of those like moments, yeah, one of those like martial arts movie moments,
yeah,
where she's got to remember Jackie is in her, but like quite literally inside of her.
Yeah, that's true. And so they,
when he got that glow inside, you got that glow.
Sorry. Perfectly illustrated by that, you know, Lottie tells Shauna, like, get it all out, we need you. And fucking Shauna beats the living shit out of Lottie to like a bloody,
oh,
messy,
well,
pulp.
At the same time, doing that intercut thing that we were kind of complaining about before, but this time
it worked
really
well. Yeah, I like this. This was good.
Yeah, where Lottie now is the person going like, hey, I don't want you guys here. They're all like, no, come in. And then that's when Lightning Crashes by Live plays.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, let's, it also starts off in a funny way. Like Misty's like, you remember at the beginning of that summer, and then I forgot which character's like, are you really going to bring up the fucking childhood trauma we went through? Yeah. He's like, no, you don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because it cuts to like her walking in and she's already been crying. And then Shauna looks at her and basically says, you killed my baby, and punches her.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Lottie kind of like comes with like, I know you're angry, but we need you. So starts like letting herself get the beat shit up, whatever. And then they're all dancing as adults together, yeah, and having fun.
As you do.
And then Van has cancer. Boom. Spoiler.
She revealed it just like that. Hey, I got cancer.
Yeah. It's like, what? How long do you have to live? Well, you know, like there's a kind of good type of cancer where, you know, it's going to be fine. Well, I don't have that one. Like, okay. Well, how long? A couple of months. I'm like, damn, she looks pretty good for
good
a couple
of
months to
live,
but okay.
Felt like it's not going to happen. Yeah. But yeah, no, and then like just the ending was perfect. Sets up, I feel like Shauna's broken. She's 100% going to be whatever with this group, you know what I mean? Like her sanity's gone. Then they're going to continue to spiral to their, like, fucking killing each other and Lord of the Flying the shit out of everything. So I think it's going to get a lot darker.
We have still not gotten to that scene at the very
end of season
end
one.
Or the first episode.
Yep. We're close, right? Because
first episode, yeah. We're getting there.
We can surmise that during the pregnancy, they pulled something out that looked like the thing they offered in the trees. Whatever.
Oh,
it looked
the
like,
placenta looked like.
Looked like a placenta. Yeah, it looked like some sort of placenta deal. That was actually...
Or kidney. Or
something. I'm assuming that's what they were offering to the whatever god there. Tree god. Whatever the fuck it is.
Tree god.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know that this show is actually affiliated with Marvel, right?
Oh, really?
That's where they get the character Yellow Jacket, and I'm assuming the tree god is actually Groot or Man-Thing, which has also been introduced. So
look for the tie-ins. Stay for that, because I saw a really funny tweet from I don't know, they folk, it's called Hard Drive. I don't know if you know who they are. They post like fake stories, kind of like The Onion, where the headline was Marvel will post Wikipedia pages for end credit sequences or something, which I thought was super. So you'll know who the character is that they're talking about, which I thought was pretty good.
Hard Drive, are they like affiliated with like the Hard Times? Is it like the same people?
I don't know. I just, that one comes up a lot because they do a lot more like tech related spoof funny headlines.
Well, what else can we say about this episode?
Fucking goes hard, just like what I text you. Great episode.
It was pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that pumped. Like everything was great about it, especially the John Cameron Mitchell scene. That was fucking rad.
Yep.
Yeah,
no, excellent episode. I mean, we're gearing down. I mean, we're almost like on the last like three episodes of the season. So
yeah.
Big stuff. I mean, I had the same thought at the end of last season that I'm gonna have the same thought here again. It's like, how do they continue to have the teenage stuff and make it interesting, right? I feel like how much more could they get out of that story, you know?
I feel like we probably have like a solid one more season of the tail end of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And well, who knows when we'll get it, right?
As of right now, I forgot who said it. I always just say Ashley Lyle because I know she's one of the prominent people that have made the show happen.
Right.
The writers, since they're also the writers, their pens are down until this all gets resolved in solidarity.
So they probably were, I'm assuming, in pre-production now, heavily into pre-production. Yeah. So probably we won't get it for maybe even longer than we got this season, right? So unfortunate. Alrighty, do you have anything else to say?
No, just that I'm always happy to hear that live song.
No, dude, they pull out the best bangers, I swear. The Collective Soul needle drop was fucking awesome. A couple episodes back, that was fucking awesome. They hit all of the 90s feels perfectly. Alrighty, let's move over.
But before we get into our main review.
Okay.
I just want to share an inspirational story.
Okay.
That would be nice to do. Maybe I'll try to find some more inspirational stories. Like, I'll try my best to, because I didn't write this down, but it is something that I thought I should share.
Okay.
There was a long trip that was heading towards New York City, I believe, that Andre the Giant was on. And he had to use the facilities while on the flight. And apparently it was a long, long flight. And he took a dump so disgusting and massive that the smell seeped into the cabin and people were violently ill and throwing up for the rest of the flight.
Yep.
Just want to let you know, people might be sick of your shit, but you'll always be the big shit. People remember you But you don't know any of those names of those passengers now, do you? But you're never going to forget Andre the Giant, who took giant dump.
Beautiful.
In the sky.
Beautiful. I love it, John. Inspirational. Andre the Giant is you know, known for his flatulence. Because people wanted to kill themselves after smelling
it. Anybody want to be nothing? Also, yeah, another quick tidbit about his flatulence. Did you hear that story about while on who's the director of Princess Bride? Rob Reiner?
Yes, Rob Reiner. Right? Yeah.
That he allegedly farted, but it ended up being like a 13-second fart, I think is what somebody clocked in. And then nobody laughed or said anything. It was just like dead quiet until Rob Reiner was like, "You okay there, Andre?" And Andre was like, "Yeah, I think I'm good now, boss."
Man.
Can you imagine being so legendary, you let out a 13-second fart and nobody laughs? You're just like,
Yeah, no, it's not just a Banksy painting. Andre the Giant has legendary.
Got a lot of amazing shit.
Yeah, definitely. So say you can still smell it in the sky. We're past.
Are you past gas?
Are you past gas, yeah. Alrighty. I don't know where to go from here, but let's move over to our main review of The Visitor. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For 1979's The Visitor, directed by Guglielmo Paradisi.
Yep. Works for me.
There you go. Nailed it.
Yep, you nailed it. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming in at number one, bratty problem child gets way.
Yeah, that's about right.
Coming in at number two, our Lord and Savior, Obi-Wan. Because that was who that was, right? That was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
John
the
Houston?
Savior of the movie. Yeah. No. So I don't know if you know any of the tidbits behind this, but a part of that, I'll get into it later, but that was intentionally supposed to look like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
His John Houston's look. Right? Yeah. Okay.
And coming in at number one, or The Visitor, God versus Devil, Pong Edition.
Ah. Oh, yeah. I guess it was a little heavy-handed, the God versus Devil analogies, but...
yeah.
I
And also the Pong, the... What is that?
Red.
That's the name of the game. Yeah. Right? Remember the old school?
Yeah.
Well, that was intentionally supposed to be them playing against each other, I guess, the whole time.
Yeah.
What can you say about this movie? It is bonkers. It kind of doesn't make sense unless if you don't pay attention to the opening where that Jesus Christ character, who's also an alien, I didn't catch that.
He's Jesus Christ, you're right.
Basically spells out the movie for you.
Yeah. That was a lot of text happening when I was just looking at that man's hair. But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. Basically spells out the movie for you. And then you realize why all the kids are bald later in the movie, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would not know what the fuck was going on. I also, there's a lot going on in my life right now, and I was trying to watch this, but I would have to like look away and do something. And I'm like, oh fuck, I totally missed something. And then I would rewind it and watch it again. I'm like, I think I just got to move on. I'm really not sure what's going on, honestly. Apparently that's not just me. It's just like collectively everybody. But I cannot stress enough how much I think this movie is awesome, but I couldn't explain why. But it is a fucking visual fuckfest for, like, the cinematographer.
Yep.
It is got some chaotic visual effects.
Amazing cast.
Like, amazing cast. This movie, okay, so there were. This is one of those movies. Allegedly, they were trying to piggyback off like the success of several movies.
Mm-hmm. It feels like several movies, yeah.
Yeah. So I did hear a little story behind it, and it really does feel like several people came in, like a bunch of cooks came in, and were like, "How about a little bit of this movie? Like, yeah. What about some of this movie?" Because it is heavy-handed, The Exorcist and The Omen 2, mm-hmm. Star Wars. What else is in there? There's like, oh God, it's like so many movies, trying to be so many movies at once, and it makes it so confusing. But it is so entertaining to watch.
Don't forget his shot around beautiful Atlanta. 1979 Atlanta,
yeah,
Georgia.
Yeah. There's like a, what? There's exploding basketballs. There's a toy bird that turns into a real bird that also explodes but never dies.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of bald guys.
Yeah.
And then when the God character comes out, the Obi-Wan character comes out, the theme song for the movie plays, and it is the most epic. I mean, they really probably should have cut it into tidbits, but then I think it wouldn't have done it justice. They play from the beginning up to a certain point again, and I swear I clocked in maybe two or three times within like a 5-minute span every time the Obi-Wan character would pop out.
Yep, that was like
so his good. Theme. Quick shout out to my friend Genevieve who recommended this movie because she was like, "You gotta watch it," and she's right. Great,
cool.
Friend of the boys.
Yeah. So I can. I was kind of watching this movie. I was a little concerned because everything I had seen made it appear like a science fiction movie. I was like, "Fuck, is this like a horror movie?" I have no idea. And then when it starts. You know, it starts with a fucking sci-fi-ish moment imaginable. Yeah. I wasn't sure what the fuck was going on. There's just a little kid. There's fucking John Huston in some cloak. Something.
Yeah, that Jesus character is like explaining the story of this like evil being who's clearly supposed to be the devil.
Yeah, spawns kids.
Yeah, or like before the God character, the Obi-Wan character could stop him, he like went on a fuck spree on humans, I guess.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of like, so now I think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is unoriginal.
Yeah.
That plot story is clearly taken from The Visitor.
Clearly. And yeah, and then once the movie actually kicked off, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. It's like a possessed evil kid movie, right? It's The Bad Seed, yeah. Village of the Damned. It's, like you said, The Omen, The Exorcist, that sort of movie. I was like, oh, okay, I'm okay. Okay, this is going to be fine. This is going to be fine. Now, everything preceding that, you know, I don't know what the fuck this was. It's basically just like a science fiction element story jammed into, like you said, like a mixed in with all these kind of old, tired, tropey horror films, stuff like that.
Except, like, in a very, like, bonkers way. Everything was just kind of, like, ludicrous. Like, as the movie progressed,
not subtle at all. There's no subtlety whatsoever in this filmmaking. They got some fucking
And the score was amazing.
They had like John Huston, legendary John Huston, young Lance Hendricks, Glenn Ford is in this. I couldn't believe they got, and I didn't really know that he was in this movie, but I couldn't believe they got Sam Peckinpah to be in this movie. Who plays the ex-husband. I was like, why is Sam Peckinpah? And I was like, oh shit. I really, when he came out as being the ex-husband, I was like, oh my God, that's Sam Peckinpah. Why is he in this movie? And of course, Shelley Winters, Academy Award winner Shelley Winters, who's probably, who in my opinion was fantastic. I've always, like, Shelley Winters is a celebrated, you know, actor, amazing everywhere, but for whatever reason, this is like the first Shelley Winters performance I saw. I was like, man, she's fucking really good in this. And it took The Visitor for me to see that. Who else? Who else is in this movie?
I mean, Paige Connor.
The young girl. You know, well, you know how about kid actors, right? You saw.
Not very good. But she was pretty good.
Was she?
Like, I thought she was pretty good. She was fun. She was just a bratty little kid, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Could have played it more evil, but then that wouldn't have, like, made sense, really.
I think clearly the direction was be really normal, casual, while saying, you know, completely offensive, outlandish things, which has the opposite effect of creepy. It's actually quite comical. You know what I mean? And it has nothing to do with her delivery or what she said. It's fine, but
it's just like, this is painfully Italian, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the Italians like to interpret film, right? For every Sergio Leone Western, there's the there's The Visitor. So there weren't all hits.
The Visitor, yeah. which that part at the beginning when the Jesus character is explaining the story of the good versus evil going on in the universe.
Right.
And how he says, like, his seed still lives on in several women's genes or whatever, but they think, like, they're just waiting for one more or for it to come back, but maybe it won't. Mm-hmm. But then the Obi-Wan character comes in and has a vision in this like, fucking wild, like, it kind of reminded me of Terry, I'm blanking right now, Monty Python, Terry Gilliam, like, style animation.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a normal person. Oh, not normal. He's like an actual person, not animated.
Right.
And he sees like the little girl there, and the little girl looks fucking scary. It was like, and I was like, damn, we're in for a movie, I guess. And he's like, yeah, it's a little girl. She's about to turn 8. Her name's Katie.
Okay. However the fuck that song goes. This kicks in.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, should we just, like, go to certain points of the movie? Because there's really not a whole lot to explain. I mean, honestly, it's just a good versus evil, and then there's really no story. It's like...
Yeah, let's do it.
Does that make sense?
Like, I mean...
I don't think there's, like, a solid story to follow. It just seems like a bunch of scenes that they kept putting together because I don't know what happened with this film.
So, Barbara... doesn't want to marry Lance Hendrickson. Raymond, but because she already has a daughter, and she questions her daughter's behavior at this point.
Yeah.
And then we find a little shithead. Then we find out that she has a special womb some type that
she's the last remaining person to have. I forgot the evil devil character's name.
Right.
Not
important.
Person to have his like genes or whatever. Yeah. But then also you find out Lance Hendrickson is. This is where I got confused. I couldn't tell who was the good guy and the bad guy, even though it was kind of obvious by like their attire.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's one of the sentinels for the devil clan.
He's the John Cassavetes in Rosemary's Baby. Basically, he's
exactly.
Basically told to bring the baby in. You know what I mean, and stuff like that. Bring it on home.
And I like how all the evil people are all like suits. They're all like,
yeah,
lawyer type people in an office, and then all the good people, like the gods creatures, are all like hippies, I guess. Even though it looked like a cult, but they're supposed to be aliens.
Right. Yeah, like from another dimension or something. So one of the most bizarre scenes, and I don't say this hyperbole, one of the most bizarre scenes I've ever seen in a movie happens at the birthday party where she's opening the gifts or whatever, and earlier they went to the mall, bought her some like bird that, I don't know, makes like a bird noise or something. And so we assume that's
Toy Bird, right?
Little Toy Bird, yeah. And they, I assume that that's what she's opening, but instead it's a Glock. It's a gun that she immediately decides to go ahead.
No, so because it's important to note at this point, this child, again, like nothing's really explained, but you kind of gather this child is starting to develop some sort of abilities.
She's Damien. She's
via
fucking,
the Omen 2. Yeah.
She's basically, she's every evil child movie.
So she opens up this bird toy that turns into a real bird that's like a sparrow, and flies around and is like landed in a bush or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And then she reaches in, and then, yeah, that's what happens. You said, like, surprise, it's a fucking 45.
She goes, look, mommy.
And shoots.
To be fair.
Shoots her mother in the back.
She shoots her mother in the back. She becomes handicapped. And she's in a wheelchair for the majority, for the rest of this movie. Strangely.
So she's the Professor X.
Strangely driving around a car the whole movie. I was trying to wrap my head around that. I understand that like some of the like wheelchair people can drive, right? They got like handles and levers and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? So.
Because back in the little known fact, back in the 1970s, they hadn't developed the foot pedals for vehicles yet. So you were still.
Fucking Flintstoning it. Is that what we're talking about?
You were still, yeah. There are a bunch of levers, if you will. That you went like tractors. No, that didn't make any sense. Yeah, she's like fucking driving her around. They make it seem like it's only her spine that's fucked up and somehow doesn't affect her feet or her arms.
It's spinal.
She cannot walk.
Yeah. It just affected her feet. It's mental. What it is. And so that happened. That was, I feel like if you see that scene and if you are not on board with this movie, I suggest you do not continue it. That's because it definitely just goes 11 for the entire movie in odd, bizarre ways. So fair warning on that.
That's where I was at. I was like, what the fuck just happened? And then I was like, I'm strapping in now. Let's get this.
Yeah, same. And I just like that. I just thought it was kind of funny that they had John Huston just walking around everywhere. They play this music and he's just like, just walking. He's just walking around.
Never actually gets in any sort of altercations. There is a part. I was going to say, should we get into spoilers? But what is there to spoil?
Nah,
it's strange.
I mean, I don't think people would believe us even if we told them what's going on in this movie.
So there's several attempts to kill John Huston's character, where he's just like casually walking away. And like at one point, the little girl's trying to run and like hurt him, I guess. Or I don't know what she's trying to do, but she's trying to run after him. And he keeps like disappearing, like walking past doorways, very Scooby-Doo-ish. And then there's like this part in a movie. I mean, there's a lot of scenes in the movie where I'm like, I don't know what this means, but there's a part where like he is somewhere. And then there's like this weird installation of a bunch of white walls, like standing individually, like flats just randomly. And then he walks behind one, and then several different white bald men. Also, there's not going to be any people of color in God's.
The only army person of color was the maid, was the butler. So,
ended up being an integral part of the.
He had a moment.
Film, I guess.
He did have a moment in this movie. He's like, oh, what a relief! I gotta work with these crazy white people anymore. He definitely had that smirk. So.
Oh man! Oh, and then also the two people that were the tow truck guys.
Oh,
that were
yeah,
like,
the tow truck
guys.
Get the
fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like they're already like, let's get the fuck out of here. And then they see the woman. They're like, oh man, this fucking drunk lady is driving around this girl. We can't leave this little girl alone. <He's> like, we're doing the right.
I wasn't supposed to be here today. It's not my day to work. It's great. Awesome.
Yeah. But like, I guess Obi-Wan's army is like just a bunch of bald white guys
who work in sequence. They work in this work. Yes. They perfectly work together in a synchronized way.
Like a bunch of thumbs.
Bald thumbs. Yeah.
It's just an army of thumbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like moments towards the end where like they're having that chase sequence where the whole time this Obi-Wan Kenobi character is trying to find this little girl, finally finds the little girl, and then proceeds to like walk away from her.
Yeah.
And then she's running after him, and then he'll run out of like again Scooby-Doo style, walk away out of a doorway, and then the person that pops back into frame is one of the thumbs, the thumb army. Yeah. Guys, and it's just like, what?
Yeah, no, that was bizarre.
And then she sees that he's downstairs, like it's like a six story building, and he's already like outside on the ground because he's
magical. He's a magical wizard. Yeah. I don't know.
And then she like proceeds to use her powers to like make a bolt fall off of this fire escape ladder. Mm-hmm. Which is like, that's not how these work, but okay. And it falls on top of like this little sort of what do you call it, like a newspaper station cart.
I thought it was a hot dog, like a,
oh, it might have been a hot dog stand.
Like a hot dog stand. Yeah, something like that, because the actor was like eating hot dogs, and then like he's like, well, you can't be back here, and then he just looks at him, and then he just we cut to what happened.
So that thing falls, it crushes that whole poor stand. Man. Everybody runs to go look at it, and then you're like, oh, I guess like that's it. John Huston character's dead, and then bam, you get the fucking title, the fucking score again, and you're like, not just kidding, and he pops his head around like
the border.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, what a reveal. What a moment. What a moment in film. Yeah, no, and yeah. I don't know what else to say. He's setting up on top of the building to bring people from, I'm assuming, from his reality.
Heaven?
The birds? So,
well, I think it was supposed to be the Thumb Army, right? Because they all pop up in like Marfa Lights style, like all these like things.
Right.
And while this is happening, Lance Hendrickson, who has disappeared for like half the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Randomly comes back and is mad because what's her name like ruined his plan.
Mm-hmm.
The mom, and is like, you know, you ruined everything. So like for some reason the little girl, Katie, was that her name?
I don't know, I don't remember. It was hold on, I think it was, yeah, Katie.
Is now there, even though they had put her in an asylum, I think.
She just escaped, yeah.
And her eyes had whited over because you thought, like, oh, now it's over. Is randomly there again in front of the Atari or whatever the fuck that's playing Pong, like, the television or whatever. Just dating myself right now, too. And then, like, she turns around and clearly, I guess it's not actually that actress, but it could have been that little girl actually. But her hair is in front of her face, and then they show her face and she's all like kind of, I don't know, I guess I'm assuming it's supposed to be demonic, just looks kind of funky, and
right,
proceeds to like beat the shit out of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulls her like by the feet, yanks her up the stairs, there's like a specific set of stairs in this fancy house they live in, drops her down the stairs, and then puts her in the chair, right? And because she's got one of those, what are they called? The chairlift things that older households used to have for people to, like, go up the stairs.
Sure, yeah. Mobilize.
Anyway.
Elevator. I don't know. I don't have a good description of that.
Has her go back up, and she's all fucked up, not moving. It's monofilament? Which I had a hard time understanding. They use monofilament, so that's basically fishing line. I don't know what that is. Yeah,
all right.
And ties it around her neck, which is like, that's going to like loosen up real quick, but okay, whatever. it goes down, and then Lance Hendrickson pops out and is like, "You ruined everything. Go ahead and do it, Katie." And I guess they're like choking her as like the thing goes down, and they're choking her to death. And then the Obi-Wan Kenobi's lights finally, everything starts rattling in this building.
Right, yeah.
And all the windows are breaking. And then God's most heavenly creatures come and save the day. The pigeons. A bunch of pigeons fly through the fucking windows and proceed to peck at the Katie character. And save the mom. And then one of the pigeons, which I don't think you're supposed to know this, but turns into like a plastic pigeon with a really sharp needle nose and stabs Lance Hendrickson in the neck, who doesn't move anywhere, just is like, what do I do? And dies.
Quick kill. Yeah.
And then the Katie character, you think it's like, oh, it's finally over. But all they did was get rid of the evil of the Katie character, because the God character tells the Jesus character, who finally shows up again at the end, and says, like, no, we only got rid of the evil in the child. And that's when you realize that evil is stored in hair.
Well, obviously. So I've always thought this.
Yeah, according to our dynamic, you you yourself are a pure good person, and I am, like, evil.
This all checks out.
We all know this. We all know this.
Totally A+. 10 out of 10. Pro bald.
Yeah.
Balding people. So, the only thing I want to add to that.
Can't explain it.
That was actually well described. Yeah. The only thing I'll add to that is they really do put this Barbara character through the ringer, because not only was she crippled, she was forced impregnated. She was had an abortion and then thrown into out of a window by her daughter. So, just
that's right.
So,
oh man, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was great. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. I mean, again, if it wasn't for the Jesus character at the beginning, basically spelling out the movie for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I had a fantastic time.
Cool. Do you want to just go into ratings then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones?
Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give a 1979 Italian masterpiece, The Visitor, 8 sexy thumb army spooky bones.
I think it's safe to assume I didn't have as much fun with this movie. More. I get why people like this. I get why Alamo Drafthouse kind of reissued it, kind of got released it, got behind it. It's a movie. This would be super fun to go to a theater and watch with an audience because of the absolute lunacy of it. It's craziness and then weird cameos, bizarre special effects, Gonzo's story. You know, there's all these like things that you could sell to like a Alamo Drafthouse audience. Sitting at home and watching it, I was less impressed with it. I'm going to give it 4 sexy spooky bones out of 10.
Okay, copy that. I like that.
Can't you just...
I will say it's because we're in two different camps. I loved X-Ray, and you didn't love X-Ray
something. I did like X-Ray. You liked it more.
Hospital Massacre.
Hospital Massacre. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just I did like a lot of things about the movie. Not to feel, I like pretty much everything you said about. I love the cinematography. That was fucking some really good cinematography. Excellent.
Yeah.
Music was great.
Really interesting. Yeah.
You know, for the time, but yeah, no story to me.
I'm sorry. Did you say for the time?
What I'm trying to say is
you're telling me.
Go ahead.
If you walked into like a room full of people and that started playing for you, you wouldn't be like, fuck yeah.
It's a great piece of music, but how it was used, it wasn't... I don't know. Wasn't used. Didn't really fit the project. If that makes sense. But what is this project? Who knows? It's everything and nothing at the same time. Yeah. No. I get it. It's cool. It's fine. I get it. I have no begrudgings. But watching it at home, like I said, this is just like a theater movie. Go watch it. You know, little sipples of beverages, adult beverages, and then you know. Partaking in wacky tobacco would have been the way to best enjoy this movie. So this is, I think it's an audience movie. It's a fun audience movie. And you know, less, my opinion might change if I ever saw this in the theater. So, you know, there's that as well. So, all right.
It is very fair to say like the movie didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it worse than, what is it, The Unholy? No. Absolutely not.
No. By leaps and bounds, it's way better.
Yeah, exactly. Because that movie, Unholy, was just boring. This is everything but boring.
Bad, yeah.
This is literally everything but. So.
Pretty bad. Like, the bar is set that low. And we have given a couple of 1 and 2 ratings, but, like, that zero is, like, a zero.
That's, like, is the one movie. Yeah, just wow. Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.